This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, full of grace and mercy, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the Beatitudes, Part 2. My scripture is the 5th chapter of Matthew. Verse 5 states, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek are the gentle, those who do not assert themselves over others in order to further their own agendas in their own strength, but who will nonetheless inherit the earth because they trust in God to direct the outcome of events. In the Bible, the meek are those who have a spirit of gentleness and self-control. They are free from malice and a condescending spirit. The meek may, like the poor, have no resources of their own, but then they may, for Moses was described as being meek and humble. But the meek do not exploit and oppress others. They are not given to vengeance and vendettas. They are not violent, and they do not try to seize power for their own ends. In short, they have emulated the nature of Jesus in their lives and learned from him. This does not mean that they are weak or ineffective in life. They may be gentle and humble, but they can and do battle for the needs of the weak and the oppressed. How does one become meek? What if one's nature is not meek? The answer to this comes from other passages of the Bible that describes how the spiritual life works. Meekness and gentleness and goodness are part of the fruit of the Spirit. They are produced in the Christian by the Holy Spirit. So the direction that people should follow to cultivate a spirit of meekness will be to walk by the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit of God, so that the qualities of Christ can be produced in and through them. Verse 6 states, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness recognize that God is the ultimate source of real righteousness, so they long for his righteous character to be evident in people's lives on earth. They shall be satisfied by responding to his invitation to be in relationship with him. The image of hunger and thirst compares the drive for righteousness with the deepest and most constant needs we have. Hunger and thirst constantly cry out for satisfaction. It is a basic human drive. The image then is portraying the desire to do the will of God is that constant and strong. This beatitude is saying much more than people think. It is not simply describing those who are righteous or who try to do good things. It is describing their passion in life. They hunger and thirst for it. Like the poor and the meek, these people put their lives into the hand of God and hope for his help. We have already thought about righteousness with its meaning of conforming to the standard, as in doing the will of God. Here the word probably has two meanings. One would certainly be in the personal life, the strong desire to be pleasing to God, to do what God wants, to live up to the will of God. But out of this will grow the desire for righteousness in the land, for social justice in a world that is unrighteous and unjust. And because that is a proper desire, it will be fulfilled. It may not be immediately, but certainly there shall be in the future when the king establishes his reign of righteousness. But the promise of the king is that the desire for righteousness will be filled. Theoretically, this happens in several stages. The basic desire to be right with God is met by the gracious gift of righteousness. This we call justification, being declared righteous in the courts of heaven. Then, as a disciple of the Savior, the desire to do righteous works will find fulfillment by the power of the Spirit. This we call practical sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. And in the future, when the Lord returns and establishes universal righteousness, we shall be changed. This we call glorification, being transformed into the glorious state. Here too, we must ask how this desire is developed. Most Christians are for righteousness, but how does this desire become so intense? It also has to come from a development of the spiritual life. Paul teaches that the spiritual person is one who yields his or her members as instruments of righteousness. So it begins with commitment to God's will. Then, as the spiritual walk is guided by the Holy Spirit, he leads the believer into righteousness. And the closer one lives to the Lord, the more sensitive he or she becomes to the unrighteousness and injustice in the world. The truly spiritual person then will begin to long for righteousness. Non-sugar sweeteners are not advised for weight loss in adults or children, according to a systematic review of the available scientific evidence. Don't use sugar substitutes if you are trying to lose weight, according to new guidance from the World Health Organization. The global health body said a systematic review of the available evidence suggests the use of non-sugar sweeteners does not confer any long-term benefit in reducing body weight in adults or children. Replacing free sugars with non-sugar sweeteners does not help people control their weight long-term, said Francisco Branca, director of the World Health Organization's Department of Nutrition and Food Safety. We did see a mild reduction of body weight in the short term, but it's not going to be sustained. The guidance applies to all people except those with pre-existing diabetes, Branca said. Why? Simply because none of the studies in the review included people with diabetes. And an assessment could not be made, he said. The review also indicated that there might be potential undesirable effects from the long-term use of sugar substitutes, such as a mildly increased risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular diseases. However, this recommendation is not meant to comment on safety of consumption, Branca said. What this guidance says is that if you're looking for a reduction of obesity, weight control, or risk of non-communicable diseases, that it is unfortunately something science has been unable to demonstrate, he said. It's not going to produce the positive health effects that some people might be looking for. Non-sugar sweeteners are widely used as an ingredient in prepackaged foods and beverages, and are also sometimes added to food and drinks directly by consumers. The World Health Organization issued guidelines on sugar intake in 2015, recommending that adults and children reduce their daily intake of free sugars to less than 10% of their total energy intake. Following that recommendation, interest in sugar alternatives intensified, the review said. Erythritol is added to many low-carb and keto products and low-calorie sweeteners. Zero calorie sweetener is linked to heart attack and stroke, the study finds. The new guideline is based on a thorough assessment of the latest scientific literature, and it emphasizes that the use of artificial sweeteners is not a good strategy for achieving weight loss by reducing dietary energy intake, said nutrition researcher Ian Johnson, emeritus fellow in Quadrum Institute Bioscience, formerly the Institute of Food Research in Norwich, United Kingdom. However, this should not be interpreted as an indication that sugar intake has no relevance to weight control, Johnson said in a statement. Instead, one should cut back on using sugar-sweetened drinks and try to use raw or lightly processed fruit as a source of sweetness, Johnson added. Because Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, we are able to be happy as we live for him. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is the answer to fear, false evidence appearing real. Months after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on Washington and New York, psychiatrists reported that people who live far away from these tragic events were still coming to them paralyzed by fear. We live in a world shaken by fear, anxiety, and worry. What is the answer to this stifling fear? After Jesus had been put to death, his disciples huddled in fear behind closed doors, filled with uncertainty and despair. But suddenly, they found themselves in the presence of their living Lord. And at his first words, their fears disappeared. Jesus said, "Peace to you," in Luke 24:36. The answer to our fears is found in a personal faith in the living, glorified Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the answer to collective fear is a corporate faith in the living, glorified Lord. The answer to tensions and fears is for the world to know him who is alive forevermore. We do not worship a dead Christ. We worship a risen Christ who has broken the power of sin, death, and hell, and is alive forevermore. Why then should we fear? There is nothing to fear when our faith is in God. Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, be encouraged because God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose with all power in his hands, so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey his word, and when fear calls your name, allow your faith in God to answer the call.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey.